Again this week, I want to talk about the Psalms, about the Psalter, and in particular, the Psalm that is appointed for our worship today. The first thing to point out is that the Psalter, the collection of all of the Psalms that we have in the Bible, is not just a random collection put together any which way. The Psalter is a book of the Bible that has a beginning and an end, a sequence and a shape that is intentional, looked at as a whole. When you're thinking about a psalm or looking at a psalm, it is worth noting the location of that particular psalm within the Psalter as a whole and amongst the psalms that fall near to it on either side of it. Psalms don't exist in isolation. They are a part of this book that has an overall shape. All of you know how many psalms there are in the Bible. It's actually a little bit of a trick question. You'll find a Bible every now and then that has 151 psalms. But much more familiar and much more common are Bibles, as is our prayer book, which includes 150 psalms. The psalm that we read together this morning is Psalm 148. So that tells you we are very near to the end of the Psalter. Psalm 148, which we read this morning, is one of five psalms of praise that conclude the Psalter. The Book of Psalms ends with five psalms of unremitting praise, praise of God. And Psalm 148, which we read this morning, is one of those. Just a little bit about Psalm 148 itself, because I think it is helpful in our entering into this psalm, but also perhaps in understanding other psalms when we encounter them. This psalm, Psalm 148, has a simple structure. It has two distinct parts. And each of those parts has three sections. Usually I would rather people sort of not have their noses in their leaflets while I'm preaching. But if you want to refer to the psalm, you might find it helpful for this part as we look just in a little bit more detail at the psalm itself. So two parts, three sections within each of those parts. We're going to look just at the first part, really, which is verses 1 through 6. That's part 1, and then part 2 is verses 7 through 14. And the structure within each of those parts is the same. The first piece is an imperative call to praise. Imperative. If you have a bit of a memory of grammar, imperative is that mood, I think it is, of verbs that means a command. The imperative is a command. Do this. And the first four verses of Psalm 148 are imperative commands to praise. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise the Lord. Then there's a little bit of a shift. Verse 5, which begins, "Let them praise the name of the Lord," is a different construction in the Hebrew. It's, again, I think mood is the technical term, but it's a construction that we don't have in English that's called the jussive. It's different from the imperative. It sounds sounds sort of the same. It sounds sort of like a command, but it's different. And when I was trying to figure out what the jussive really is, because we don't have it in English, but the Semitic languages all do, I came across an interesting illustration. Live long and prosper. That's the jussive. You know, it sounds sort of like a command if you look at just the verbs, live long, prosper. But it's not really a command. It's a hope. It's a wish. It's a desire. My desire, Spock says, is that you live long and prosper. But it's expressed in that sort of imperative tone. There's a lot of that in the Psalms. And whenever you come across this English translation that says, let them praise, rather than the strictly imperative praise, it's that jussive, it's that hope, it's that desire, not a command, although it's expressed forcefully, but it's a hope and a desire of the psalmist that the angels of the sun and the heaven of heavens will praise. That wish or hope forcefully expressed. And then the third part of the section is the motivation, the reason for praise. In this case, God made all these aspects of creation to stand fast forever and ever. He gave them a law which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord, because the Lord created you and gave you form and place in the structure of creation. So imperative, hope, and reason or motive for praise. And then verses 7 through 14 follow that same pattern. There are imperative verses, and then verse 13 in the jussive again, let them praise. And verse 14, the motive or the reason for praise. One of the commentaries that I read on this particular psalm, Psalm 148, talked about how this psalm, within its verses, within its words, embodies forward-leaning inertia. And I love that phrase. Forward-leaning inertia. That as we say this psalm, as we recite it, we are drawn forward from this invitation to praise into actual praise. We, as reciters of the psalm, are drawn forward into words and an attitude of praise. This psalm inspires, invites us, in concert with all creation, to offer our own praise to God. What if we step back just a little and ask, what does it really mean for us, though, to praise God? As I thought about praising God and giving voice to praise, I realized that that practice does not have universally positive connotations for me. I can think of some folks who often give voice to praise, who do not necessarily model behavior that I would like to take on. Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, for example, whose show was called Praise the Lord, was it not? Or at least their group, the PTL group, Praise the Lord. And there is a form of evangelism that offers praise over and over and over again to the degree that, at least for me, it has lost any sense of connection or meaning. It's become a cliche rather than a real expression of praise. There are also folks who will say, praise Jesus, when they successfully find a parking place on Main Street in Boulder. And although I'm very glad when I find a parking place on Main Street in Bozeman. That is not for me an opportunity to praise Jesus. We do have opportunities to praise the Lord. And to offer praise to God does mean something active. It is something that we express. The word praise means express, give voice to. Think about it. When you are praising a book that you love or an accomplishment of a family member, you speak that praise. Praise by its very nature is spoken, articulated, named. Thinking about reasons that we might be motivated to praise God other than finding a parking place. The Psalms give us over and over again throughout the Psalms, even looking at just these last five Psalms of praise in the Psalter. They outline for us reasons that might motivate us to praise. The existence of creation, the stars and the heavens. Psalm 148 talks about God's splendor revealed in heaven and earth. Psalm 146 talks about the stars, how God numbered the stars, which are innumerable. Psalm 145 talks about God's goodness and God's acts of goodness. God's acts that are compassionate, just, and righteous. God's care for us, God's good care. Psalm 145 says, "The Lord upholds all who are falling down and raises up all who are bowed." Psalm 146, he heals the brokenhearted. Reasons for praise. The Psalms also give suggestions on how we might actually offer praise, how we might give sound, give voice to praise. And a lot of the Psalms' suggestions involve musical instruments. Psalm 147, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, make melody to our God on the lyre. Psalm 150, the ultimate psalm of praise. Praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp, praise him with tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with clanging cymbals, praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Let everything that breathes give sound, give joyful sound to our praise of God. And we do that every time we gather here. Every time we gather for worship. Coming together as God's people, we give voice, we give sound to our praise. One of the primary reasons for corporate worship, for coming together with others in worship, not the only reason, but one of the primary reasons for corporate worship is to share praise. To join our voices in praise, to say the psalms and sing the hymns, if not with cymbals or lyre, with organ and voice. And it isn't a question of having a melodic singing voice. It is a question of using your voice for praise. In the psalm, we say a psalm every Sunday. Many of them are psalms of praise. So coming to be here as a group to offer our praise is important. But we are also invited to praise God throughout our lives, not just here in this place on Sunday morning, to praise God throughout our lives whenever we witness God's goodness, God's care, a glimpse of the majesty and wonder of God's creation, to express our praise, to express our praise. I was thinking of this yesterday when I was sitting working on my sermon in my living room, which has a wonderful view to the south. And as I was sitting there, a small group of birds came into view and flew off towards the south. And it took me just a moment to realize that they were snow geese. And at least for me, that is a glimpse of wonder. A glimpse of beauty as they pass through in the spring. Those flashes of majestic white as they fly above. Praise God for the birds of the air, for flying things. In that moment, say it. Say it out loud, or at least in your mind, say the words, praise God. It's not essential whether or not there are other people around to hear, although praise is more joyful when it is shared. It doesn't matter whether you really say it or out loud, but focus on the words of praise. Capture that actual moment. Don't lose it in sort of a general sense of thanksgiving, which is a good thing. But focus on that moment of praise, that response to God's goodness, God's presence, God's care, God's majesty. Not because God needs the praise, but for us to make that praise ours. Express it in those moments when you are moved. In just these last five Psalms of the Psalter, depending on exactly how you translate it, the word praise occurs 47 times. They're not particularly long Psalms. Praising God is not a rare occurrence. It is not meant to be a rare occurrence. It's meant to be a frequent and regular occurrence. And it is my hope, my own hope, that the forward-leaning inertia of this psalm may tumble us all into offering praise, into a regular practice of praise throughout our lives. When we gather here on Sundays, and when we are aware of God's goodness, God's care, the majesty of God's creation around us, that we give voice, saying, praise the Lord.